Praise the Lord. God is so good. He loves us. How more can we say? That's really good. We love him, but he loves us, and he loves us more. I often think about when Adam and Eve sinned, God came into the garden. He called them and said, Adam, where are you? He already knew where they were, but it was like something in his heart. There was a hope that maybe Adam could love him more. Adam didn't love him as much as he should have, or he wouldn't have disobeyed his commandments. Throughout the 13th, 14th, and 15th chapter of John, Jesus repeats over and over again, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It wasn't a big deal. Just don't eat that tree. And I can just hear the Father's heart saying, where are you? What have you done? And he already knew where he was and what he had done. And where we were and what we had done. He came with the waters of baptism like Helen was sharing. What an awesome thing to be free from the old nature. Put that off. You know, this holiday season has been a real blessing. Everybody's saying how terrible 2020 is. But it's been a wonderful time for the church, because the church has its eyes open now. And when we pray, we don't pray rote prayers of mourning or please deliver us, but we know that we are praying for the will of God to come down upon this earth and dwell in the church, to be expression of his love. It's like the Lord comes down and says, Adam, where are you? And he's saying, I'm in a church. I'm here in the kingdom of God, finally, not looking for another tree. Always looking for trees to solve our problems. There is only one thing that can solve our problem today. It's not government, it's not men, it's not you. It's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that love affair that he has for us. He really loves us that much. You know, I was reading where I'm going to be going into Acts chapter 1 and 2, so if you want to turn there. I'm reading in Acts chapter 1 where it says the day of Pentecost was upon them. Pentecost is the Jewish feast of the first fruits of the wheat harvest, the Shavuot. What an interesting thing. God never does anything by happenstance, does he? It isn't just a coincidence. The first fruits. Yeah, I would have thought the first fruits would have been when Jesus was born in a manger. He is the first fruit. He was the, there was the first Adam, and he's the last one. But this was something that was birthed at that time, that God was going to break in man, break into the things of man and break out. You know, I feel, let's talk about birth for a minute. Birth is never convenient, is it? I remember when Cheryl was about 7 months, 7.5 months, she's already starting her Braxton Hicks contractions, and says the muscle that's going to be pushing in the end is starting to get in shape and get more and more and more intense. That ninth month comes, and she says, Is this it? Now, she may have plans, and I may have plans. Go to work every day, come home, we go to church, we do things on a routine basis. But when the child calls, everything stops. Sign yourself out of work, sign yourself out of life, and you attend your wife. And your wife is very attentive of what's going on in her body. And things begin to happen very quickly. But the miracle of birth isn't just what you see on the outside. There's things going on. The placenta is growing around the child as it's formed and conceived. As baby Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary, things were happening, and all of us were praying today about our children's children and children, because we have experienced that. But what we don't know is that that placenta is creating a safe place with the government has taken away from us. What a crazy people we are. We're creating a safe place. And, you know, the mother's blood doesn't just mix with the child's blood. The capillaries come into the placenta from the mother, and the capillaries from the child come into the placenta, and they're side by side. And the blood crosses over through those capillaries. There's an intimate relationship even then. And my wife can tell you that there's an intimate relationship between a child and a mother before it's even born. The child already knows the sound of its mother's voice. Did you know that? It already can recognize its mother and its mother's voice. What a wonderful thing. Jesus came into this world born of a virgin, and he already knew the voice of the Father. Already knew the heartbeat of God. So this is what happened. This is really an interesting thing. We think things just happen, but they don't just happen. Birth is a miracle. Every time a child is born, a miracle happens. As that child is starting to be pushed through the birth canal, all kinds of things happen. You know, the lungs of a child are not functioning when it's in the womb. It doesn't need air. So the lungs are like idle. There's, you know, they're not even filled with blood to the full extent that they can be. The heart is actually not over here. When you ever say the Pledge of Allegiance, you always put your hand over your heart, so on the left side. Does everybody know that? Right? But that's not true. When you were before you were born, the heart's over here. Did you know that? Wow. I remember doing an autopsy on this guy. I'm glad he lent me his body for a moment. I said, let me see how this works. And I talked to the pathologist. He says, so the heart is actually over here. And I pushed his heart over to the right side. And I said, so let it go. And so I let the heart go, and it flops back over to the left. It was on the right, and it flops over to the left. And when that happens, that allows the left chamber to start filling with blood. And boom, all of a sudden, the lungs start to fill up with the blood. And it hasn't taken a breath yet. But that heart has already flipped over as it's going through the birth canal. Now, an interesting thing, science knows that. From studying blind shrews that live underground, subterranean shrews. Who would ever study such a thing? But they did, because these shrews never got too much oxygen down there. So they took out from their brain all of the things that were there, and they found that these shrews could live on almost no oxygen at all, and sometimes no oxygen. They had anaerobic respiration. They could do it. They're mammals, and they can do anaerobic respiration. Interestingly, they found out that the fetus can do the same thing when it's going through the birth canal, when they analyzed its brain contents. And tragedy when a fetus didn't survive. And they found that, you know, everybody would be so concerned that this child can't stay in the birth canal too long because it's not getting any oxygen. The capillaries are ripped away from the placenta. And it's like, oh, we got to get this kid out. Well, all along, now they know, the kid is perfectly capable of living without oxygen for a while. Not forever, not for very long, but long enough for the birth to happen. That transition is such an awesome event. So here, the child's going through, and the capillaries are ripping away from his mother's capillaries, and the placenta is coming down, and he's being thrust through the birth canal. His heart flips over, and for the first time, the four-chambered heart is actually functioning. Boom! It hasn't taken a breath yet. All those things are happening. It hasn't taken a breath yet. The breath in the Bible is so important. When God created Adam, he breathed in him his first breath. Everything was there. All of his heart was in the right place. You know, didn't have a belly button, but he had everything else. But he needed breath. When the child comes through, it's like the diaphragm all of a sudden jerks with a tremendous force and sucks all that air into the lungs. And for the first time, the heart pumps that blood into that brain. It's been living on anaerobic respiration, and it fills its brain. It's no wonder the baby cries. He's like, ah, what's going on here? For all this time, he's been an aquanaut. He knows his mother's voice. He knows. He knows when she's angry, and he knows when she's sad. He knows all those things about her. And suddenly he's separated from his mom. Not good. He feels things that he has never felt before. The baby feels those things and the miracle of birth. Then they take the baby and cut the umbilical cord, and the blood's already shut off. Doesn't need his mom anymore. Yeah, but he does. They put the baby on the mother's chest, and the first thing it hears is its mother's heartbeat and the warmth of its mother's body. Isn't that wonderful? When we're born again, the first thing we feel is the air and the rushing spirit of the Spirit of God come into our lungs. And for the first time, our brain is filled with the oxygen that it needs. All along, we've been drinking in the oxygen that's in this world. We need another kind of oxygen from heaven. And we're put on the chest of the Father, and we know and feel his heartbeat and the warmth of his love. The miracle of birth. So we celebrate at Christmas time, but we also celebrate it at another time, the day of Pentecost. Because the Spirit entered like a rushing mighty wind into the church that it had never felt before. They gathered together. They were in rooms and praying. They had their feast. They had their Shabbat. They knew what it was like to have fellowship. They had never been birthed like this. It's like the whole earth didn't know what was happening. It had never happened on the earth before. Sure, the Spirit of God came down and visited individuals, and even times the prophecy would come down, but not like this. This was the birth of the church. This is like something that had never been seen before. Think about it. How could a random execution in Jerusalem change the world? Why would we even remember it? Was it written down in the history books so we could somehow see it? Or was it totally forgotten? But when the Holy Spirit comes, a whole new process is at work. You could forget. Your whole generation might forget. But the Holy Spirit never forgets. And that breath comes into us, and we breathe it in for the first time. Filled with the Spirit. It begins to be a learning process, Jesus says. I'm going to send you the Spirit, and he'll lead you and guide you into all truth. We don't know all truth at the beginning. The baby doesn't know all truth. All he knows is now he's got oxygen that's rich, full of life. And he takes a second breath. Wow, that felt good. First one, you didn't know so much. Second one, that felt good. Third one, fourth, fifth. So children are born over and over and over again through the centuries. And each one is a miracle. But the church was born only once and will only be born once. It will not be born a second time. When the day of Pentecost came, it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but for wait for the promise of the Father, which he said you had heard from me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, that is the Lord, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? It's like they still didn't understand. They still thought it was about politics, about a nation. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and seasons in which the Father has put his own authority. For the nation of Israel today is now a real reality. It's a fact. How many years and centuries did it take? But you shall receive power. The implication is they didn't have the power. The only power they had was the power of Adam, and we knew the power of Adam would sin again. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. At that point, you cannot hide it away. You shall be witnesses, not be witnesses. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The church was not called to a few, as it had been before. Now your mission in prayer, and as you go to your prayer closet, your mission is to pray for the whole world. Let's look at the birth process here. This is really incredible, the second chapter, verse 1. Well, when the day of feast of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord and in one place. That would be a good thing, wouldn't it? Behold how pleasant and good it is when brethren dwell in unity. That's a good place to be. A lot of people want to build a church there. Let's just have unity. That's all we need. Well, no, it's not true. We need more. And suddenly, the earth had not seen this before. When the baby comes out of the birth canal, it doesn't know what's going to happen next. And suddenly there came the sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind and filled the whole house they were sitting. It's like the universe and the very earth and the weather, everything, didn't know what was going on. And it just, a mighty rushing wind came into that room. And even the electricity didn't know what to do. But it was being directed. It says, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one each sat upon each of them. So it was almost like each one was a Tesla coil. No, it would be better than that. It'd be awesome. It's like, what is this birth? What is this birth? What is happening here? The angels were singing at the manger, but what was happening here? Oh, the angels would never sing like these disciples were singing that day. Well, if I were in that meeting, I think I would have been taken back. First breath. Oh, my goodness. What do I do now? Breathe out. It says, and then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled, baptized, to overflowing, not able to contain. It's like the air comes in the lungs. It can't stay there. A diaphragm isn't meant to just like be distended the whole time. It's got to relax and like. Whew. And when they did that, they began to speak in other tongues. Tongues of all different kinds of languages. Let's talk about angel tongues, but Paul later talks about that in his epistles. The Holy Spirit began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. A voice. We need a voice. You need a voice. You are not made to be silent. It's time to cry out. Cry out to God. That child was saying, I'm alive, if nothing else. What do I do now? Here's your mom. Listen to her heartbeat. Feel the warmth of her chest. Begin to suckle on the milk of the word. So you first baptize in the Spirit. You need the Word of God. You need the truth that God has for you. Is that right? Wow, I bet you never saw Pentecost like that. I don't know that I've heard a sermon like that. But it's true. The birth of Jesus is just the beginning. It was like the seed for the Holy Spirit to take off, fill the whole earth. Do you realize there really isn't one nation that hasn't heard the gospel? It came true. Whole nations have tried to destroy, put down, and take it out. Rome did, tried to, and then took over Rome. Holy Spirit does that so often. Breaks in to break out. the church tried to do it, and make rules, regulations, put it behind rote prayers that have no meaning, put it behind a liturgy and litanies that are so memorized that they have no meaning. The Holy Spirit breaks in to break out of the mold that we put him in. You know, there are beautiful cathedrals in this world, and I'm not sitting in one. I'm not preaching from one of their pulpits. Look at this place. This is like the manger. The manger of all churches. Here it is. Well, they have worse mangers in Mexico, manger churches. I'm telling you, they're like, let's just get together and worship the Lord. And they do. The Philippines and all kinds of places. The Holy Spirit breaks in to break out. Doesn't want to stay in your closet. Doesn't want to stay in your little box. Doesn't want to stay in your little world. Oh, Adam, where are you? What have you done? Don't you know how much I love you? To bring you close to my chest, to feel my heartbeat. He wants that for every one of us individually, but he wants us to wake up as a church and to feel that same thing. Well, what happens next is not unusual for the world. They were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. Really? Wow. Must have been like the United Nations. And then when the sound occurred, they heard something, right? And small, Jerusalem was only about 20, 30,000 people at the time. So when that sound occurred, the multitude came near and they were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. I don't know that I ever heard Jerusalem as a mixed culture town ever, except in this verse. You know, all these nations speaking in their own tongue. And when they were amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? Oh, you remember those guys that speak with a weird accent? Yeah, the Galatians. Galileans, southerners, they don't know how to speak great. And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Oh, all of them, Mesopotamia, Judea, Asia, wherever, Egypt, Liberia, wow, visitors of Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Arabs even. We hear them speaking our own tongue. Wonderful works of God. What were they talking about? The Spirit's going to talk about the Creator. Duh. So when you get the tongue, they say, what am I saying? Well, I think you're probably talking about the glory of God. So I'm speaking in angel tongues. It's not German or French. I'm speaking in the tongues of angels now. So what do you think they're saying? It's the language is one of praise and glory to God. Oh, when I first heard people singing and praising in tongues, I didn't have to ask the question. I knew what they were saying. I didn't even have to know the words, but I knew what they were talking about. Whatever could this mean? Others mock said, they're just full of too much wine. After all, they just went through childbirth. Give her some whiskey. See, I never heard a sermon like this. Now, Peter, before he was filled with the Spirit, before he took that first breath, before he became a Tesla coil, when the wind came in so fast he didn't know what was going on, all he could say was, yeah, you're the Christ, where else can we go? And Jesus said, you know, the Holy Spirit revealed that to you. You didn't come up with that on your own. So he had a taste of what it was to be listening to the Spirit. But here, something else happened. This is not the Peter we knew and loved before. This is a new Peter. So Peter, standing up with the 11, so he wasn't the only one, raised his voice and said to them. So he wasn't reticent. He didn't stay back and say, I don't know Jesus anymore. Whatever you think, just go. Let's just go with it. Oh, he's got words to say now. He'd been thinking about this. The Holy Spirit gave him some things to say. These men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, as you've already said they were, since it was only the third hour of the day. But this is what is spoken by the prophet Joel. I heard that teaching just a few weeks ago. And it came to pass in the last days. Oh, and listen to this, because this is what Adam should have heard from the beginning. I will pour out of my spirit. I pour my spirit out on all flesh. All flesh. No one is exempt. Your sons and daughters. Oh, no, not this one. Yes. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Whoa. Prophecy was reserved for the prophets in the Old Testament. Listen to what I'm saying. Every one of you will prophesy. You don't think you will? You will. If you haven't. Your prayers will become a prophecy, a proclamation of the glory of God. And you say, whoa, I never knew I could pray like that. It's prophetic prayer. And you will speak things into people's lives. He says, how can I speak to an unbeliever? They have no clue what God is doing. You can speak it into existence. You speak to them as if God is already filling their heart, and he will. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. There's going to be a restoration of the knowledge and the glory of God. It'll invade our visions of what we think things should be. It'll invade our dreams. We will no longer have nightmares. We will have understanding of the things of God. But these visions and dreams will not be of the old nature, but of the new nature. Let's pray that before you go to bed at night. Lord, give me dreams filled with the Holy Spirit. I've had enough of the enemy's dreams. Have you? Come on, I'm fed up with it. It's time for the church to take the third and fourth breath. How's he going to do this? On my maidservants, men's servants, and maidservants, it doesn't matter what class you're at. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. You say, we don't have classes anymore. Yeah, we do. I go into the medical societies, and that's very clear that there are doctors and there are not doctors. And if you're not a doctor, you will never become a doctor until you become a doctor. The classes in the societies, and that's only one, but all levels we have those kinds of things. If you're not on the varsity team in basketball, I guess well, you're not on a varsity team, you're junior varsity. If not on junior varsity, you're not in sports. You have these classes. All of those are going to be erased. This new breath that the child is taking, this new breath that the church is taking, that's going to be blown away what men have created. And it'll be just like the beginning, the first breath. He says, I will show wonders in heaven and above, and signs in the earth and beneath. He's already done those things. We're just beginning to see them. Wonders that we possibly could not imagine. We're finally figuring out that how did this universe even start? And we're beginning to understand how wonderful and beautiful it is, the things that God made in the heavens. And the things that God has made for us here on earth. Wonderful things. Blood, fire, vapor of smoke. Sounds like a volcanic eruption to me. Sun being turned into darkness. Solar eclipses. It's a minor thing now. The moon turned into blood. A lunar eclipse. All those things can happen. Have happened over and over again. And they will happen again and again until the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. It's something to look forward to. He's coming back. We'll see him just like when he left. And it shall come to pass, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, this one's written in my heart. If Adam had just done this, If you just did this one thing, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dad, where are you? Crazy. We live in a crazy world, but the kingdom of God is not crazy. The kingdom of God is glorious in all of its ways. It's glorious because he's in the church now. He could not have done this as a single human being representing God on the earth. He could not have done this as a single human being representing God on this earth. He couldn't have. He had to go to the Father so he would disperse and bring the Holy Spirit down to us. And the Holy Spirit had to have a day of Pentecost when he would breathe into the church his first breath. As God breathed into Adam, the Holy Spirit breathed into the church. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man attested by God to you by miracles. How? By miracles, wonders, signs for God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know. They made no mistake about it. Now, in today's world where you can have movies do all kinds of tricks, that may not have been true, but it was certainly true in this day. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and knowledge of God. The determined purpose. Oh, it was, he thought about it. It wasn't just haphazard. You have taken by lawless hands as crucified and put to death. So typical of men to take and put something to death that God has brought into this world. But God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, that's a great scripture, you can't kill God. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced, my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow the Holy One to see corruption. That means die and just decay. But you have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. So the resurrection of God is described by Peter in a way that he could never have done before Pentecost or before Shavuot, the first fruits of the harvest. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you about the patriarch David. And he explains that David is not talking about himself. He says, Lord, said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until what? I make your enemies your footstool. The enemies of the Lord are the things and the works of Satan. God did not intend for Satan to rule and to have any authority over us, the church, you in particular, but the church especially, which is why he breathed into it the Holy Spirit, that we would know and proclaim what God has done. Therefore, let every house of Israel know assuredly that God has made him, this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Peter made a proclamation. They didn't know anything. If he had just made a statement, they wouldn't know anything. But it was a proclamation that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. There is no other. He is the one that God brought into this world to be the sacrificial lamb, to be the one that would go before the Father, to be the one to sit down at his right hand and send the Holy Spirit to his disciples on earth, both men and women, children, sons and daughters, maids and maidservants, men servants. Then Peter said to them, repent. See, because that's after you hear this message that's full of the Holy Spirit, the response of the people listening said, what do we do? So, okay, I'm glad you said this to us, but now what do we do? Well, the same thing we did, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus. So that's what Helen was sharing with us for the remission of sins, that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent, water baptism, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we sang it. This promise is to you, to your children, and who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Those are the doors of the kingdom. We only need to have ears to hear. And we, as a church, are responsible to make the same proclamation that Peter did. There is no other way. You can't vote for it. You have to have something in your heart that needs to be expressed. That breath that you take next, the next breath you take, is the same breath that the Lord gave you in the beginning. Breathed in you when she came out of that birth canal. It wasn't natural air. But he breathed in you just like he did to Adam and gave you life. For this and many other words. Sounds like me. For this and many other words. Be saved. He said this. He said, be saved from this perverse generation. There's no hope for natural men and women. There is only hope for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is only hope for those who believe in the Lord Jesus and are filled with the Spirit of God. George Washington even said in his inaugural prayer, and when he left, he said it again in a prayer. He says, if our hope is in men, our nation is doomed. But we must have godly men given to the love of God. I'm paraphrasing. The church says about the church, and historically, this is kind of a history, because the second chapter of Acts isn't just what happened, but it's a historical context it's talking about. And he says they continued steadfastly. And what were they doing? They continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So these guys that were with Jesus began to teach over and over again the things that the Lord showed them, just like he said they would. And those who gladly received his word were baptized that day, about 3,000 souls that were added. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and the breaking of bread, that is, communion, and prayer. So, teaching, communion, and prayer. I can't get better than that. Fellowship. Teaching, fellowship, bread, and prayer. That's the fundamental building blocks of a church. It isn't a stained glass window, you see. It isn't an old, huge Bible on a pulpit. But it's those things that make the church. And it says, then fear came upon every soul, not a frightening fear, but a fear of God. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together. And this is really? How could this happen? And they had all things in common, sold their possessions, but divided them among all as anyone had need. So it sounds like that could never happen in our society. Absolutely, could not. And God isn't even asking us to do that. He said, let's talk about teaching, the fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Your response to that could be manifold. A lot of different responses to that. But the heart of it is to share. The heart is loving kindness. Because when you breathe in the Holy Spirit, out comes compassion. Out comes the compassion of God. Out comes the grace and mercy of God, not judgment. Out comes the understanding of the ways of God, not cloistered away and hidden anymore. Is it any wonder that so many were martyred? Because they couldn't keep it inside. You can't keep the Holy Spirit hidden. It doesn't allow that. The breath is the breath. And the breath of God is the breath of God. So they continued doing that, breaking of bread from house to house. Sounds like home groups. Doesn't it? It sounds like an intimate relationship with each other. Breaking of bread from house to house. They didn't have communion just in sacred masses, where it was Christmas. There was Mass on Sunday only, or whenever they had Mass. But they broke bread house to house. They ate their food with gladness. And I love this one. And simplicity of heart. You hear that one, Helen? Simplicity of heart. Just, you know, if the gospel isn't relatable to me at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's not really working. If the gospel, if you have to have a PhD to understand the things of God, then it's not really the gospel. If you have to know certain things, a list of things, that's not the gospel. The gospel is the love of God. Simplicity of that love. They were in that simplicity, praising God, having favor with all people. Why wouldn't they be? And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Why? Because it was a simple gospel. It had no restrictions. It had no trappings of the things of men. Most of the criticisms I hear about the church today are not because of simplicity of heart. Not because the church is speaking compassion and loving kindness and mercy and grace. It's the fact that you guys think you're so good, don't you? You're better than everybody else. And they put on trappings just like the Pharisees, Sadducees, certain clothes, certain way we do things. My worst critic is my wife. She said to me one day, ready for this? She's not sure what I'm going to say. She said, you were up there. I said, so how was it? She said, you just look so Episcopalian. I said, how's that look? I said, I don't even know how that looks. But you can put on an air of spirituality that's fake. God can see through all of that stuff. Is that right? All right, so let's summarize what we've talked about this morning. First of all, I wanted to let you get in on a secret. The miracle of birth is more miraculous than you ever even supposed. And my simple description only describes part of what goes on in the development of a child and the birth through that birth canal. Some of you didn't know and understand what happened. All you knew was, you know, the baby wasn't there and then the baby came out. You know, that's it. But a lot more things happen. In the next few days, that child, a lot more things happen. And so it is with us. The church is not supposed to be and never will be the product of men. The church is a product by the power of the Holy Spirit only. It isn't a history lesson in remembering what Jesus was and did. Those things are good to know and understand. But the power of the Holy Spirit needs to reside in the church. And that foundation gives us the guts to take the next breath. You know, sometimes our heart's broken. My heart has a right bundle branch block. Anybody know what that is? Not too many. But it means that the signal for the first beat doesn't get to the bottom of the heart fast enough. So it sends a little message back, better send another signal. So I get two electric shocks for the first beat. Boom, boom, boom. So the heart only beats once, but it gets those two shocks. So you see an EKG, what looks like rabbit ears. Doctor told me, he said, you know what you have? I said, I have no idea. What are you talking about? I don't know how to read an EKG. He said, you have rabbit ears. You have right bundle branch block. So, oh, good. Is that going to bother me? No. It was on the left side, it sure would. So oh, that's good to know. Well, all of us have things wrong with us. I have other things wrong with me, too. One kidney is only about that big. People say, you have kidney stones. You need to do this, this, and this. Well, take the kidney out. I won't have them anymore. The other one's working fine. But God created us with weaknesses. You know, when life is born, it's not born into a perfect world. It's born into a world with sickness and dying and death. Where, listen to me. It's born into a world. Life is born into a world of sickness and dying and death. Not the strong and the mighty. Life is born into that place where it can bring life to sickness and death. The bodies that were without hope can be with hope. Bodies that were dying can be with absolute hope by the grace and mercy of God. Helen, in her dying bed, was speaking life to us and to her children. And so often we find ourselves, there is no hope for this. I give up. Well, it's about time. Peter, give up. And I'm talking about the Apostle Peter. Now it's time for you to be filled with the Spirit and start proclaiming the gospel of what the truth actually is and what God is doing on the earth today. Signs in the heavens and signs on the earth. But the signs just aren't physical signs. The signs now are in the Spirit. You'll see that your prayers will be answered. You will see when you speak into nothingness, something will be created. You will see those turn to the Lord that you never had hope for. It's happened. It's happening. How can God save that person? I've been witnessing to this one guy who was living in Vermont, I think, at some point, and then northern New York, and he was drinking too much and swearing too much, even online. I thought many times I was just going to, like, block him. And I kept being a witness to him. He moved to Seattle, and he moved into, you know, right at the base of Mount Baker, one of the most beautiful places on the planet. And then he went fishing off the San Juan Islands there, and he just fell in love with creation and God. Guess who he turned to? Jesus. I was going to block him. But not God. He broke in to break out. Amen. Secondly, the message of repentance and hope, as in water baptism, to water baptism and the resurrection life, is ours. It isn't just a ritual. Repentance makes a difference. Hope in the waters of baptism gives us a hope for the Holy Spirit to fill us as we leave behind the old man, that we can say, Adam, you made the wrong decision. I'm making the right one by the power of God. Number three, there's outward evidence in the Holy Spirit as it was in the very beginning. It began to speak in other tongues. It began to speak, do something. Peter began to speak and make proclamations that he could never do before. There was evidence of the Spirit. And is there evidence in the church today? And will be. Four, there's a dedication of the church to the teaching, fellowship, and prayer. There will never stop being that. And lastly, the most important in my mind, is the simplicity of the gospel. It's the gospel of the kingdom. The simplicity it is. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. How complex can a government can that be? There's only one king. There's only one Lord, and he's the one giving the orders. He's the one that gives us the insight. He's the one that gives us the understanding in our this finite human brain that we have. And when he gives you a revelation, it isn't because of your own wonderful brain. It's the Holy Spirit comes and says, listen, I made that brain big enough so you can understand the things of God for the first time. Isn't just about a natural birth at all. Being born into a world of strong and mighty. Isn't that what they've been teaching us? Strong and mighty survive. That's what evolution is driven by. those who can survive, and those who are strong and mighty, the ones who survive more, and their traits just keep growing and growing. And I'm telling you something quite different. I'm saying no. True life is born into a place of death and dying, sickness, and a lack of hope. And that life comes in that place and changes everything. So the animals are not somehow those who are strong and mighty among us. There are some that are very weak in our body. Some that are barely able to take their next breath and may speak the very words of God. The church has been born, people. You better watch out. And I'll speak to the gates of hell. You will not prevail over the church. You cannot, never have, never will. And we are there. Just pray. We are there as prayer warriors. We are there to speak to those who are dying, physically dying, those who are spiritually dying, those who are diseased, physically diseased, and those who are spiritually diseased. We see that more than those who are dead. There's a disease that's rampant even in the church. And people speak of the church and they say, the church needs to pray. Well, the church needs to be healed. And what they need to be healed of is everything except for the Lord Jesus Christ himself, Lord of lords, kingdom of God, in our lives. There is only one kingdom, one church. There is only one church. It may not be spoken in very many churches today, but it's being spoken here in this manger as we come through the birth canal this day, next year in 2021. Let us be that birth Pentecostal church God has ordained us to be. Amen? All right, let's stand and pray.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we make a proclamation to you today, Lord God, not on our own strength, but on yours. On our own strength, you know, all we can do is cry. All we can do is retreat and fall back. But in your strength, Lord, we can stand in the midst of the saints, just as Peter did. He didn't stand alone. We can stand in the midst of the saints and speak the truth, the proclamation that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you are King of kings and Lord of lords, and you and your mercy, your great mercy and loving kindness have filled us with the Holy Spirit individually, personally. And you have taken us to your flesh, to your heart, where we can feel your heartbeat. We can feel the breath as it comes out of your lungs, O God, and fills the earth. We can taste the milk of the Word and drink it in and let it nourish our bodies, our spiritual bodies. This year we proclaim the church to be awake in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.